الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إما يبلغن عندك الكبر أحدهما أو كلاهما فلا تقل لهما أف ولا تنهرهما وقل لهما قولا كريما. One of the things which is inevitable in life is the stark reality is that we all have to age. And as a part of the aging process, as one gets older, they go through different phases of their life. Now, most people, particularly when they're youth, they don't give much thought or much consideration to the later phases of their life. So oftentimes when a person gets their first job, the first thing that they're worried about or they're thinking about is how do I, you know, buy a home or how do I get a car and how do I establish myself. They're thinking about the here and now and not necessarily thinking immediately perhaps about retirement. When in fact, if a person does live and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does will that a person lives that long, then that would be perhaps a very important financial concern of how they expect to perhaps support themselves in that age. At least in the Western society, we think about the people think about it in these terms. So when one is young, they're really focused on the here and now, and it's very easy to forget about what is coming afterwards. In the same vein, you'll see that when a person is very young, they place an inordinate amount of importance or emphasis on their looks. In fact, this is a value that is so emphasized in Western society that it, to a great degree, a person's worth is sometimes determined by how they look and how they appear to others. Particularly when it comes to women, that when a woman is young, when she's beautiful and she's attractive, then she feels that she's someone of worth. And this is somewhat of a, let's say, suboptimal for worldview, for lack of a better word. And the reason that it's not optimal is that it is limited to a very short span in one person's life. A person is only young for so long. And the inevitable reality, as we said, is that a person must age. And so is it fair that a person, as they age, that they inherently must lose self-worth? And so it's a very constrictive worldview, actually. A worldview that values women, that values people when they're in the prime of their health, when they're able to give something to others, but when they're in need to take, then we turn our backs on them. And that speaks to sort of the selfishness that has become almost pervasive in present society, where we want to be takers rather than givers. And this stands in stark contrast to the Islamic worldview of how we look at the elderly in general. That the elderly, a woman for example, is much more than just a model. She is much more than a person who is a piece of flesh. She is much more than someone whose beauty is to be appreciated. She's looked at as a person. She is a mother. She is a wife. She has so many different roles in society. In fact, women are the anchors of society. And that is a role which is much more vast, which is much more liberating than one which is confined simply to beauty or external or physical appearances. And this worldview is the very worldview that provides a level of social respect, of social worth, which is actually very important when it comes to human psychology, to individuals even after they've passed their quote-unquote prime of their life. So the woman who is 60 years old now, or the man who's 60 years old now, and their hair is falling off, and perhaps they don't look attractive, and sometimes people don't want to necessarily sit next to them, and perhaps there may be a stench that emanates from them. Those are the very people that are honored because by the very virtue of their age, if nothing else, by the very virtue of their age. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to the effect in the riwayas in Tirmizi, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يَرْحَمْ صَغِيرَنَا وَلَمْ يُؤَقِّرْ كَبِيرَنَا أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ That individual is not from amongst us who does not show mercy on the young ones, on our young ones, and who does not يُؤَقِّرْ, show توقير, show honor and respect to our elderly. That's a very strong statement coming from our beloved Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, emphasizing that those people who are older than us have a very important place in society and very important place in our lives, and it is a place which is above our own, right? Above our own. And, you know, there's a different riwayah in Ahmad, Hakim, and Tabrani that whoever does not respect our elders, is not compassionate to our youth, and does not give our scholars due honor, is not of us. Similar riwayah. In fact, there's another riwayah which you know, just shows how much importance Islam places on respecting those who are older than our own selves. The riwayah is in Muslim, where it is said that those who are best in reciting the Quran should lead the people in salah, and if they are equal, then those who are well versed in the Sunnah should lead, and if they're equal in that, then those who emigrated earlier should lead. And if they emigrated at the same time, meaning if they're equal in each one of these different categories, if they're aqra, they're equal, if they're, you know, asan, a'lam bisunnah, if they're equal in that, if they're equal in the time that they had emigrated from Mecca to Medina, then Rasulullah ﷺ, he said that the elder should lead. And in fact, it comes in a different riwayah, it's in Sahihain, that there was a group of young youth who had come to visit Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the way that they described Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is actually very beautiful, because they said that he was very kind and compassionate, meaning that with the youth, this is the impression that they walked away from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with, right? They didn't find him walau kunta ghalidan qalbi lan fadhu min hawlik. That Rasulullah was not hard, and if he was, then people would have driven away from him. In fact, he had this very magnetic, very kind and compassionate quality to him, and this is something that remained imprinted in the minds and hearts of those people who had the blessing and who had the honor of spending some time with him. So anyway, they had come and tried to spend some time with Rasulullah, and when he felt that they might be missing their families back home, because they had stayed for some 20 nights, then he inquired about who they had left behind. And so they said that, you know, these are the people who we left back home. And he said, go back to your families. And he said, live with them, teach them Islam, you know, tell them about doing good deeds, these type of things. And he said, at the time of prayer, let one of you call out the adhan, and then literally let your eldest lead the salah. Let the eldest lead the salah. So over here, Rasulullah says that when a person who is leading the salah, he is the representative of that community before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal. And Rasulullah says that when he's giving advice to these young youth about who, now this not these were all youth, so it wasn't, for example, someone who is necessarily old in the sense of, you know, the way we think about people being old over the age of 65, people who are on social security, people who are retired. These were all youth, but even from amongst them, Rasulullah ﷺ gave preference for the one who was older. One time Rasulullah ﷺ, he saw a dream, and in the dream he was using the miswak. And when he was using the miswak, two men came to Rasulullah ﷺ, and he handed the miswak to the younger one of them. And when he was handing it to the younger one of them, he was instructed that you should hand it to the elder. And there is the riwayah is in the Sahih of Imam Muslim. So in another riwayah, for example, Rasulullah there was a younger individual who was going in front of the elder one, and Rasulullah emphasized the preeminence and the first right is for the one who is older. All of these go to show that simply by virtue of age, Islam places a certain amount of respect and honor over the other individual, even if that other person is older than the other person by one day. Still, there's a certain amount of respect that we should show to the other individual. It comes in another riwayah that, what was the other riwayah? That part of respect for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, part of showing respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to show respect to the elderly Muslim. So this was the first person, and it has actually been specified here, whose hair has turned gray. And it comes in another riwayah that, you know, that gray hair is the light of a Muslim on the day of resurrection. And that no Muslim's hair turns gray in Islam, except for every gray hair, he'll receive one reward, and his status will be raised by one degree. And that riwayah is in Bayhaqi. So we know that the other riwayah that was mentioning in the Sunnah of Abi Dawood, that part of praying, showing respect to Allah, is to show respect to an elderly Muslim whose hair has turned gray. And so that portion is actually specified in the hadith. And it also refers to Hamilul Qur'an, yani the one who has memorized the Qur'an. And then there's some description given about that individual, and also to a just ruler. Now, when I first actually came across this hadith, it makes sense, of course, and you sort of, you know, say, of course, it's true. But I really was able to actually appreciate it when I was reading this one work, which was talking about moral revisionism and filial morality. And so there are these moral revisionists, and I think his name was Sloat, and he was basically going on some type of pedagogical tirade and diatribe against Allah, na'udhu billah min thalik, but then against the whole concept of paternalism. And he actually equates, you know, the same type of psychology that sort of underlies the submission towards a higher power, submission towards who we would say is Allah, to underline a paternalistic sort of assertion of authority. And he saw that as these quote-unquote noble lies, according to him, as infringement on the freedom and autonomy of, you know, young individuals. There's another, for example, moral revisionist, forgetting her name, who spoke about what do children owe their parents when they grow elder, and her short and terse words were in response to that question was nothing. And that was really her stance, and she really felt that children owe their parents nothing. If they want to show something out of their own affection, then that is allowable. But as such, she saw that there was no right that the parent, for example, would have over the child. And so it really, when you read things like this, that the same type of psychology that leads people to kufr, this type of arrogance, this type of a desire for ulu, right? La nuridu uluwan fil ardi wa la fasada. Our general approach is we neither want, you know, a lofty station in the earth, nor do we want any type of facade in the earth. But these are for people who want this type of crass autonomy, that no one should tell me what to do. I should be able to do whatever I want, however I want, and where the total focus is on I, right? And very little focus is on anyone else. That this individualism and crass humanism rules supreme. In that context, it's that same psychology which would prevent a person from respecting their elders. And now if you think about the hadith, it makes entire complete sense. That, you know, part of showing respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing respect to an elderly Muslim. If a person cannot show respect to an elderly Muslim, that same attitude will prevent them from showing respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are things that we have been taught in our deen. This has been the way of the pious, this has been the way of the elders, that the way we comport ourselves with our elders has been one of always, you know, great respect. that if there is someone who is older who is sitting in our company, we should not stretch out our legs towards them. That if they are standing up, we should offer the seat to them first, and then we should sit down. If they are, we should look to see that they are comfortable first before we look for our own comfort. That if we speak to them, we speak to them in a nice voice, in a kind voice, in a soft voice. That we should not necessarily look at them in the eye brazenly when we speak to them, but in humility we should speak to them. And oftentimes, you know, when people also get older, they also get more testy and they have shorter patience. And so sometimes they will actually rebuke other individuals when it's not necessarily. And also when people get older, they become very firm in their beliefs. And so they feel that the need to very, you know, sometimes forcefully export their views and impose them on others. And sometimes that seems to be a bit strange, you know, at least in American culture. But the way that we respond to that is that we say, Alhamdulillah, and you just listen to it quietly, right? You don't have to get into any type of argument. You don't have to fight back. You just sort of listen to them quietly, and then you can politely recuse yourself from them necessarily. I mean, it's very unlikely that a person who's believed something for 20 years, 30 years, and he believes that to be, as they say in this country, the gospel truth, that a young person who's, you know, 16 years old or 18 years old, even 20 years old, will change that in a matter of a few minutes. But a person can respectfully listen to them, and then they can walk away from, then, you know, they can just excuse themselves. Now, there's these small types of adab that we show, that, you know, when you see an elderly individual, oftentimes you see them in if there's a huge function or if there's a party, that they're sometimes sitting all the way in the side and they're completely ignored by everyone else because people don't want to interact and they don't find any interest. It is not necessarily what we would say fun to spend time with them. But our focus is not necessarily on fun. Our focus is on adab and doing those things that will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah. Oftentimes the elderly don't have the capacity and don't have the opportunity to speak to others. They become extremely lonely. And they have a whole lifetime of things to talk about. They have a whole lifetime of experience to share. And they feel very isolated. So sometimes when they actually do find an individual that they can talk to, they want to pour their heart out. And they keep on speaking and speaking and speaking. So sometimes even lending a patient ear, right, so that they can say their heart's desire. This is one way that we can show adab to our, this is a part of our tawqir, a part of our respect to our elders. That if they need some type of help, and you know, we know there's an elderly person in the community, and you know that they have difficulty perhaps shoveling their driveway or mowing their lawn, helping them, all these small things that we can do on, you know, very much in real time, particularly when, you know, when people go and frequent the masjid, and you see someone who's elderly who's sitting there, just something as small as going and say salam to them, taking an interest in them, making sure that they don't feel that they're a forgotten sector of the society, a forgotten sector of the community, and showing some type of adab, particularly with those individuals who are friends with our parents. It actually comes in one hadith, but Rasulullah, and it's in the Sahih of Imam Muslim, that the best act of birr, right, or goodness and righteousness, is for a man to uphold ties with the friends of his father. Meaning that even after the father passes away, if you knew that your father had ties with someone, that, you know, you call them once in a while and say, Uncle G, you know, how are you doing? It doesn't have to be a long conversation. It doesn't have to be a drawn-out conversation. And it doesn't have to be one that occurs with great frequency. But the fact that someone honors their father by even respecting their father's friends, it's actually it's an act of piety. It's an act of piety. So really the take-home message is that this is the honoring our elders, respecting our elders has really been a very, like, sort of a cornerstone of the adab that we're taught to, you know, Muslim children, Muslim youth, Muslim individuals, and something that was very peculiar to Islamic culture. So much so that it was perhaps even noticed by non-Muslim cultures, the amount of emphasis and respect that we show to our elders. The concept of, for example, relinquishing one's own parents to the care of, you know, some type of cold, impersonal nursing facility for their care, when a person can take care of them in the warmth of their own home and try to earn their jannah through their khidmah when their parents reach old age, was, you know, in many ways foreign to what we knew in terms of our culture, in terms of our adab, in terms of how we comport ourselves with those people who are most dear to us. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to understand the honor and the station and the rank of those who are older than ourselves within the society, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to show them the type of respect to them that will earn Jannah for ourselves, that will make them happy, and that will also, and perhaps most important, and most importantly, make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy with us. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. So we'll spend some time in dhikr, inshallah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, salawat. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا خفي اللطف أدركني بلطفك الخفي بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك أستغيث بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب لا تذرني فردا وأنت خير الوارثين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والله ذو فضل على المؤمنين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الله ولي الذين آمنوا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والله ولي المؤمنين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. مراقبة. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم.